Welcome to the podcast, Design Your Success, the podcast where human design and business meet. Every week, I will drop a new episode with an inspiring guest who shares his or her story about their business and how human design has fit in and how it has made a change for them. My name is Nicolena Huizinga. I am your host and I am a business mentor and human design coach. Have fun listening.
Guys, welcome to another episode of the Design Your Success podcast, the podcast where human design and business meet. And today I have a very special guest and I'm very excited that she's here. It's the wonderful Aideen Nee-Riata. Hi Aideen, welcome.
Oh, thank you so much, Nicolene. I'm excited to explore human design around business because it's fascinating to me.
Yes. It really is. It really is. It's a fascinating world, and especially how we apply it in business, right? So before we dive in, I would love to ask you to introduce yourself to our listeners.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm an intuitive voice coach. I started off as a singing teacher, but because of my interest in psychology and spirituality, I started to combine those things with the voice coaching I was doing and developed a way of teaching singing that would address the mental and emotional blocks to being seen and heard. Eventually, that also kind of linked into doing voice mentoring, which is more related to just being seen and speaking up and learning to trust yourself in situations.
I love that. I love that. What you do is that you basically use the voice as a means to an end, right?
Yes.
So the singing is a way to get from A to B. And I love it how you do that. And we know a bit more about one another. So I know a bit more about what you do. And I absolutely love how you do it. And because you have people who are there for the singing, and you have people who are with you for building confidence and really making themselves heard and overcoming that barrier, right?
Completely, because for me, when we develop the ability to sing, it creates a lot of awareness within ourselves. We need to develop self-love, because sometimes the journey has a few bumps along the way. And when we start to express ourselves from our hearts, as we do sometimes more so even in song than we can with words, there can be a very healing journey in that.
Absolutely. Well, I'm nowhere near experienced as a singer, but I did a little course last year of 4 lessons of singing and then a performance night. And I totally feel what you say about singing bringing up other elements than just the words. So mm-hmm. The singing is the sound, it's the vibration in the body. And what happens when you start experiencing that? That's a whole different level of experiencing words and emotions. So I'm totally with you on that.
I think that there's a lot to be said for everyone having a piece that they can gift to the world. And I'm Irish, so it isn't uncommon to have the local farmer in the local pub sing a song, or someone has a poem that they might have memorized that they would share in a social setting. And I'm really keen to encourage that.
Absolutely. And I love that you have those, like those open mic nights, and
yes,
people can just show up and sing. And it's so lovely. I watched one of the replays recently, and it's so wonderful to see and to watch what happens when people start singing and they start expressing themselves, and other people are so warm and appreciative and so gentle when it comes to, oh my goodness, so you're so brave for doing this and it's so good. And it's not about singing beautifully, but it's about expressing yourself.
Yeah, and I think we underestimate how much we need that reinforcement as well. which is one of the reasons that in a lot of my classes, I encourage other students to give feedback to each other, because that really helps build us up. We all need to be built up. We don't give ourselves enough encouragement sometimes. So, yeah.
So true. We are our own worst critic, and we're so we can be so mean to ourselves.
Yeah.
It's nasty. It's really nasty. So tell us, how did you start your business? How did you end up doing what you do today?
Well, I suppose if I could go back really far to my childhood and talk about the singing I used to do then and how much I enjoyed performing and being seen in that way. But I always felt a little bit like it was something I shouldn't do because it wasn't considered a career path that would be secure. So I had this conflict going on in my mind. And I think my interest in psychology has always been there. But this conflict of wanting to be a singer, but saying to myself, I can't do that, it was creating so much tension within me that it was a fuel for me to understand the mind and study psychology for, 3 years, and then to go on to do other personal development strategies that would hopefully help me to start to do what I wanted to do. And they certainly did help at different stages. I started, singing more and studying music, but I found that becoming more grounded and getting in touch with my spirit was the key for really establishing myself in music and singing. And what happened was I was invited to sing at a local show in my hometown, and we had this amazing run of the White Christmas, the musical, and I was Betty. And at the end of it, I said to myself, dear Lord or dear universe, help me to do more with music. I want to do more with music. I want more of my time to be spent with music. And 3 weeks later, I heard a voice in my head that I knew wasn't my own voice, because literally what it told me to do, I did not want to do. It said, do a singing workshop for adults. And I was like, no, I'm not a teacher. I'm a performer, right? My mother is the music teacher in the family. But because I had been, getting more in touch with my spirit and I'd been meditating, I paid more attention. I paid more attention to that invitation, I guess you could call it, in human design. I'm a generator and I need to respond to invitations. And this was an invitation that literally was planted in my head by a disembodied voice, which might sound crazy to some people listening, but it's the truth. And luckily I had a friend who played piano and had a venue, and I recruited helpers. And that was a key for me establishing my business. I did one workshop that I called Learn to Sing for Fun. It was for adults, which was unusual in my locality because most people considered music and singing as something you learned as a child. So I was doing things a little bit differently from the beginning. So in February 2016, I think it was, I did a 1 day workshop. In March, I did a 1/2 day workshop for men only and it went on one a month. And by June or July, I had a Facebook page, I had a business name, I had people wanting one-to-one lessons. And about a year later, I think it was, I was featured on the television in Ireland with this cool new idea of learning to sing for fun as an adult. So it was an amazing journey. And I feel it had that snowball effect because it was guided.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And I love it that you did the workshops, the singing for fun, because this is exactly what generators need to do. They, for themselves, but for others as well, they need to do the things that light them up, that really feels good and that gets the energy to a higher level. And that's exactly what you did. And as a generator, it's really important to wait to respond. And what you did, you responded to the invitation that you got and to the sign and the cue that you got. And it, for some, it may sound weird and that you get this thought, this intuitive insight But for those who are like, yeah, that's crazy, then stop listening. Just move on. Because this is what we're talking about, that this is listening to what your energy, what your guidance is literally telling you. And you did so well to respond to that. And I absolutely love what you do today. So, and I can imagine that, well, looking at your human design, and I've seen your human design, obviously, you are a 1-3 generator. And the one is always the person who really wants to dig deep into knowledge and into, well, getting to the bottom of things. So wanting to understand things with the mind. But the three is all about experimenting and testing and trying. So of course you do things differently. Of course there is no fixed way of, okay, this is how you are supposed to do it. And looking at the rest of your human design, you have a lot of open centers, and what you did, which is you just felt and you responded. And I think what you also described was that people told you like, oh, but that's not really not the best way for a job, or, you know, it's not, you won't make as much money or anything. That's also a very important element when we look at your human design. There is the open heart center. And the open heart center is all about the ego. It's about willpower and determination. And when it's undefined, then it means you don't have a consistent energy there, and you're very open to what other people may think of you.
Yeah.
So it all makes sense that at first you don't want to do it because it feels like, I don't know, it doesn't feel right, it doesn't sit well. And but at some point, you really need to tap into that sacral center and the feeling of, oh my goodness, this absolutely lights me up. I want to do this. I don't know why it doesn't make any sense, but I just want to do it.
Absolutely. I mean, it was a very frustrating journey. There was a lot of heartache along the way because I would start doing something with singing and then I would stop because I would start to experience that other people weren't interested in what I was doing, or there was some challenges. I didn't have enough support at the time. And it wasn't until I started meditating. Honestly, that gave me so much support. So I didn't need as much external support from people. Like, I remember even my own meditation teacher almost discouraging me from doing the singing thing. She said something like, well, you've got to do what works. And I was like, ugh. I said to myself, well, I'm going to make it work to some degree. I said, it will be a part-time business. It will be a hobby. It will be something. I am going to make this work. It's not, I'm not going to decide that's what's supposed to work and that this is how. I wasn't going to use my brain to do it the way she seemed to be suggesting with what she said. So I started to realize as well, because my own dad had discouraged me as well, I started to realize those were the people I needed to push against, that it was, instead of positive reinforcement, it was negative reinforcement. It was reinforcement that was helping me to see how important it was to me, because the devastation when someone you care about, who you know loves you, is giving you the opposite advice than what you actually need in that moment. It is so hard. So you get stronger, and it's all I can say. If anyone out there is at early stages in any unusual business and isn't getting the support that you may need, that you will find people that will support you, and don't give up. Don't give up. My motto is never, 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 ever, ever give up.
Absolutely, I love that. I love that, and it's so true what you said. When you don't find the encouragement and the support in within your family or friends circles, it's so important to find the people who do support you and that you can just bounce up ideas with, that you can complain to when things are rough, because there is a business for literally everything. There's a market for literally everything and anything. Just the other day, I read an article about a woman who teaches people how to knit with metal. There's a market for that. There's a market for that. So you cannot imagine how crazy things might seem, but there is always a market for it. So yeah, I absolutely love that. So this is one of the things that you encountered on your journey. What other struggles did you find along the way?
Oh, I think that struggle that you mentioned of just being a little bit sidetracked by other people was a huge thing. I wanted to find support, I then found I was hanging around with people who were more like fair weather friends. They were kind of saying, oh yeah, you can do anything. And the can do anything people weren't grounded, and they couldn't actually help me be practical in the approach that I needed to take to do something. So that was another phase of my kind of learning and trial and error and all that, because I did do a little bit of work in self-improvement and NLP, and I encountered a lot of people that were full of enthusiasm, but they it took me way off track. I mean, I spent 10 years studying nutrition and working in nutrition and fitness. And that it was really good for me. I mean, I learned so much about my health and I really enjoyed, you know, I still use the strategies today. But if I had been spending more time learning about music and studying the psychology that I was more interested in, I think I would have gotten further faster. So I was a little too influenced by others, I think.
This is, again, you know, this is part of your human design. The three is all about testing, experimenting, and finding ways that don't work. And as frustrating as it may sound, I mean, I'm a 1-3 too, so you're in great company. And I cannot tell you how many things I have tested and tried that fell flat. But until I knew about my human design, I was incredibly frustrated about that. And I literally, what you described about the nutrition studies, that you were like, oh, but I should have done it with music or psychology, but you didn't. You tested, you tried. Now you know a lot about nutrition, which is great. And it's never lost, you know, information and knowledge is never lost. But it's very important to see it as this is just part of your journey. And so, yeah, now you know that it's more about the singing, it's more about psychology. Great. Now you can focus on that. And you still know a lot about nutrition. Great.
Yeah, I think my business is called Confidence in Singing. It's about developing singing, your confidence through your singing. But when you ask that question of what my challenges were, my own confidence was one of my biggest challenges. So I think that's probably why I'm so passionate about it. I feel like I really, when I work with people, I try to see them, like really see them. And I'd often have students that other people would be like, oh, they're a little bit odd, or, you know, I had interesting people in my classes that a lot of, you know, in County Wexford, it's, you know, I'm in Ireland, but like I have, you know, a Polish student and an Italian student. I seem to attract the outliers in the local community, people who maybe had mental health issues or who were suffering in some way from a trauma. And it, I mean, I'm not like a, you know, board certified psychologist or anything, but at least I had compassion for people coming from different backgrounds. And I really loved to, I think something I discovered with human design, that I really love to create a very safe environment, a nurturing environment. And my clients often become friends and they certainly feel safe with me. And I think that allows you to become more confident a bit more quickly.
Yeah. You know, I think we teach what we needed as well. I mean, I spoke a lot over the past years, I've spoke a lot about visibility. And I spoke about that a lot because I needed it, because it was my struggle as well. And I knew exactly what people were struggling with. And it's the same with you, with the confidence, in confidence through singing, confidence in singing, that you know exactly what it feels like if you don't have the confidence.
Yeah.
So it's and it's exactly the reason why you're so good at helping your clients to overcome the hurdles that you know so well. So and that's why people feel great around you, and especially again when we look at your human design, you literally have an open head and an open mind center. So I can imagine that the outliers and the I don't know what how did Steve Jobs call them, the commercial about the people who do things differently.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the people who want to be around you because they feel safe. They feel like not being judged. And that's the thing when you have like a defined head or a defined Arshna, it's harder. It's not impossible, but it's harder to literally have the open mind. But in your case, you know, it's all open for me as well. It's all open. So nothing is weird, nothing is crazy. It's all good, and everyone is as valuable as everyone else. So yeah. So yeah, that's why people love being around you, and they love being around me because of that. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a wonderful asset that we both have. Of course, having an open mind, an open head, and an open Arshna can be tough as well. It can be overwhelming at times. But it's really important to see it as an incredible asset, that it's a reason why people want to be around us.
That's good.
That's just good wonderful. To know. Yes. So when we look at, you know, running a business, how do you apply your human design in your business?
Well, at first I didn't know that I was anything about human design. I was just trusting my instinct, and but I still had a tendency to say no to opportunities. I was a little bit closed. I was worried that people were going to influence me in the wrong way because I had experienced that so many times. So I think I slowed down my progress at times because I would be unwilling to take a risk if it was someone else's idea. If it was my idea, I felt okay about it. But if it was someone else's idea, I didn't. So I know that from my human design perspective, it was something I need to learn from. I don't know. I think the one of the biggest shifts was when I learned about how human design applies to business in terms of the generator energy. And for some reason, when I worked with you, Nicolene, you drew my attention to this idea that we should put things on like kind of it'll start again. It's like it's not going to stop and start. And it made so much sense because I was like, well, if you turn a generator on, like if you had a literal generator for electricity, yeah, you'd want to keep it going and not turn it on and turn it off. So since understanding that, I've made sure that if I had an event, instead of going, okay, bye everybody, that I would invite them to something like a follow-on something. And in fact, I ran my second Voice and Song Summit this year. And in my mind, I was going to just go do it again next year, you know, like just put it all aside and keep all of the, you know, contact details there, da da da. Mm-hmm. Maybe add people to my mailing list, but that was about all I was going to do.
Yeah.
But when we spoke and you brought my attention to this, I decided, right, why don't I do a Voice and Song session, which is like a 1 hour version of the summit once a month.
Yep.
And now I've instigated that, and the voice experts from the summit are really loving joining me. So we do a little expert round table discussion, and then Q&A for people who are interested in finding out about the voice. So that came directly from our conversations, Nicolene. So very grateful for that.
Yes, I love that. And it's so important that we honor that, because the traditional way of launching a program, like starting and ending it, is just not for us. It's just not for us. And the moment when I learned that, that was a huge game changer too. And now when I do it with my clients, especially when we discussed your ideas, of course, you know, you have, you're sitting on a pot of gold with all these wonderful people from the summit. Why not keep them closer to you during the year? And then, of course, you're going to do it again next year. But in the meantime, you can do other things. So I love it that you used it like that. And and I think it's so important that when we learn these little tweaks, because it's not like a major thing, but it's just a tweak to what you were doing already.
Yeah.
And then it's so effortless and easy, and it brings so much satisfaction and joy, because, and that's exactly what we as generators should be looking for the satisfaction and the joy and the things that light us up. I think that's really important, and not so much traditional success, between air quotes. So when we think of success, what would you say is your definition of success?
My definition of success, I guess, is that I want to help as many people as I can. Which is why I'm writing a book right now called Start Singing. I feel like, you know, I can reach certain people, and I've played it quite small. Like when I lived in Wexford in Ireland, I played within the local county, and I had my 30 to 50 kind of clients that came and went, and they were kind of doing it as a hobby. And then as I expanded, and I'm living in the US at the moment, I started to get some US clients, and they were quite different, and I was starting to do the intuitive mentoring, and they were like more, they were staying with me for longer. They were, you know, paying me differently as well. So I feel like I have a lot to offer, but sometimes I don't realize. Sometimes I need to imagine I'm playing small, or imagine I'm playing safe, remind myself that I can tend to do that so that I don't fall into that trap again.
Yeah, I can totally imagine. And that's why we need like alien eyes on our businesses, right? That we need people who look at us and just observe what we're doing, and like, why are you doing like this? And why are you not doing that? So that's why we absolutely need someone else to shine the light on the things that come so natural to us. And you're right, we really have a tendency to just keep on playing small, or thinking like, oh, but this is not going to work. So it's really important. And I love what you said about your definition of success, that you want to help as many people as possible, because the world would be such a different place if the amazing people that are out there and who don't dare to speak up and who don't dare to be heard find the confidence and build the confidence to do so. I think the world will be such a better place when we have those amazing people speaking up and being heard.
So, and I think if we can find that within ourselves, find what it is we want to say, that really helps us feel more authentic. And it's like you're really being your deepest self. And that brings a certain joy into life and a sense of purpose that we can sometimes feel very lost if we don't have it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think, you know, so many people try to fit in and out of fear of standing out, of being different. And I think it's so important that we are our authentic selves. And that's why I love human design so much, because it's such a great guideline. It's not necessarily a label, but it's a great guideline to help us reconnect or connect to our true selves and who we really are at the core, so we can speak our truth from that place, and not so much from a place of, oh, but this is what people expect me to say or to do, or this is the way to fit in, this is the way people like me, or anything like that. So I love what you do in that sense as well.
Absolutely. I find what I do so rewarding. I feel so passionate about the work I do. I know that it gives me great joy. And interestingly, when I started teaching, one of my students said to me, Aideen, you didn't sing during the workshop. And I said to them, well, to me, it's like I've baked a cake and I've given each of you a slice of that cake and I've enjoyed watching you eat it. And it was amazing the difference in me, in my sense of kind of calm and peacefulness, because until I started teaching singing, I always felt this gap in me that I wasn't singing more. And I wasn't actually singing an awful lot more when I started teaching, but I was facilitating other people to sing. And I was creating opportunities for me to sing as well, because I would always sing at our concerts. Mm-hmm. And so it fulfilled me in some deep way that I didn't until that student asked me that question that day, I didn't realize how much it was filling a big gap in me. Yeah. to offer people that thing that I knew that I needed in my life.
Oh, wonderful. Yes, it's so wonderful. You know, and that's also like the generator way that we need other people to say something, and that's something that we can respond to and then realize like, oh my goodness, this is exactly what this is all about. So I love that. Oh, that's so wonderful. So when we look at your journey over the past years, what would you say are the top three best lessons or advice that you can give our listeners?
So from my own life, I guess one of the first things that I realized, someone asked me, Aideen, what is your dream? And I said, I want to be a singer, but I can't do that. I had just been at a presentation about potential and belief and all of that. So that was the first time out of my own lips, I heard that I was saying, I can't do that. And I realized that I needed to look at that myself. So that was a big turning point. And I really believe that we don't give ourselves the encouragement that we need. Sometimes we have to give it to ourselves first. It's almost like your dream is like a seed and it's under the ground and you have to remember it's there and keep watering it, but nobody else is going to know that it's there. Nobody else is going to be like, oh, that's a cool thing, because they can't see it. They don't know that that was planted. Yeah. So we have to nurture our dreams. I heard a great phrase, which was instead of don't give up your day job, it was don't give up your daydream.
That's even better.
So I just loved turning it around in that way. So that was probably one of my biggest lessons. Another big lesson for me was really learning to let other people help me. And the reason I hit a really low point, I hit a kind of a rock bottom when I had been living in London for many years, for about a year and a half, I suppose. And I had gone there because I said I wanted to do singing in London. I was like, I'm going to sing in London. And I didn't do any singing in London. I got into a job almost identical to the one I had in Ireland, which was working in nutrition and in fitness. And my boss got me doing, asked me to become a trainer. I started teaching people how to do weights. It was like, this isn't really me, you know, at all, but this is what I was just open to everything at that point. And I fell out with my boss. I didn't have enough money to live on. I convinced my dad to lend me money to stay in London. And everyone was worried about me. My dad literally went to London with letters from my family saying, Aideen, we're worried about you. Please come home. And against this fight I had in me that I was going to do everything on my own, I surrendered to this. I'm not figuring this out and I need to let my family help me. And I healed a lot of the misunderstandings between me and my family when I went home that time. And I stopped trying so hard to do it my way. And I started meditating. And that's when I had done that. That's when my business was able to grow roots and to feel like really real. So I have to say those things have made such a difference in me. Yes, I had to look at my own mind, but yes, I also had to be realistic, be with the people who cared about me and allow people in.
Yes, I can totally imagine. It's so, so relatable that we think we need to do things on our own. And we have all kinds of, well, beliefs and irrational ideas of why we should be doing things on our own and why we should be able to sort things out and to, I don't know, be a big girl and do it all. But yeah. It's so powerful when you surrender and when you're like, okay, I need help. And that's, I think that's one of the most powerful things that we can do. There's so much power in vulnerability, but it's one of the hardest things to do. And especially, again, when we link it to human design with all these open centers, and I have a lot of open centers too, so I can definitely relate to this. When you feel like you feel other people's emotions and you feel you want to live up to their expectations and you don't want to fail. And so there's so much going on. Whereas when you surrender and like, okay, I need some help, just guide me. And then you can reconnect to the power again. And well, look what happened. Especially with you and your business. So
yeah, it took a little while, and I think I had to be very patient. And for a while I literally my motto was to have low expectations. Like I expected nothing, right? Later I tried to adjust that to just having no expectations rather than low expectations. But it served me well because I was just trying too hard. I was trying to reach the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. I was always aiming for something bigger than my next step. And now I take things very much step by step. And, you know, if I get that intuition, you know, like I did with my business, you know, do a singing workshop, my podcast began because of an intuition like that as well. When I follow those things that I feel in myself, there's a momentum and I feel like I get given a little bit of an energetic push by the universe. And I can recognize those things now. And I'm still learning. We're all on a journey, you know.
Absolutely.
Nobody's perfect. So it's been a wonderful journey, and I'm very honored when someone invites me to help them on their journey as well. I really feel there's that when someone invites you in like that and kind of, it's like they want to change and they want you to be part of that change. And then I can become like almost a cheerleader for them. Yes. When they succeed, I feel like, oh, I have had a little bit of a part to play in it. And it feels like I've grown a community around my passion for singing now. And so it's a real blessing. And I'm very grateful that I listened, that I trusted that intuition.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And I think I totally feel what you're saying about the gratitude and that you're honored to be with people on their journeys. I have the very same feeling when people give me their information to create a human design report. It's like, you know, someone giving the keys to their home and just, you know, have a look around and it's fine. You know, it's so, I'm always so honored that people trust me with me looking behind the scenes, what's going on. And because I can see and I can spot what's going on with them and what themes are issues or are potential issues for them. So it's always an honor to be invited on someone else's journey. And it creates connections for life, I would say, if you connect from that place instead of, oh, I'm just going to teach you something and then you're fine. It's like, no, I and that's why I think why you and I connect so well because we both want the meaningful, deep connection, and not just as, you know, a client and a coach, but really as equals who want to enrich each other's lives. And I think that's really powerful and beautiful. I mean, that's the way I want to do it. And I can totally see you doing it the same way. So, yeah. So that's
there's something in that, you know, I've started to realize that when I start to feel that connection with someone from the heart, because that's really what you're doing, is you're saying you run a heart-led business, you know, you want to share your big heart, and you know, and it when real love is between people, even as friends, that doesn't disappear. It, you know, it's like that friend will still be there. If it's really like a true, you know, love and care, it doesn't go anywhere. And you feel that in business sometimes when it's not there. Whether that's out of fear or just a, you know, misunderstanding with some people, they don't realize that that it is safe to care about others. And for me, it's that's why I feel my business has really taken on an even greater meaning and even greater potential in the last 2 years, because now I don't follow the logical way of doing things unless it also has that heart in it. And when I speak to someone, I can feel that. And those are the relationships that I'm investing in.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. I'm totally with you on that. It's exactly the same thing. When I don't feel it now, I walk away. But in the past, I never did that, because I was like, no, but this, you know, following more the traditional way of running a business. But now I'm really trusting my gut feeling, my intuition, because it's incredibly well developed. And it's the same for you. It's very well developed. So we have these incredible intuitive abilities. And it's so important that we honor those and we trust them. And really build those connections. And I can see how you do that too with the people that you work with, and the way, I mean, just watching the replay of the open mic night it's so different from any other, you know, client meeting. It's a meeting of friends. It's a gathering of friends and people who are like, oh, I love hearing you sing, and it's so wonderful, and you're so encouraging, and it's really all heartfelt. And that's what I love too, because there, like you said, there are many people in business where you don't feel it, and it's all good. Not everyone needs to be the same, but I like to surround myself with people who are on the same wavelength. So I'm incredibly happy that we have met and that I had the honor of interviewing you for this podcast. So thank you for that. I'm really thrilled, and I cannot wait to share this episode with our listeners.
Well, I'm honored that you've asked me, and I thank anyone listening for spending the time with us today. And I really loved how you worked with me, Nicolene. So I can give you a big thumbs up, five stars, if anyone's listening and thinking about working with you. Oh. And I'm here for the listeners as well, if voice is something you want to explore. And yeah, I've got lots of cool stuff on my website, confidenceinsinging.com. Absolutely. And so there's ways to connect with me there.
Absolutely. And we will share all your details in the show notes, so people will be able to find you on YouTube, because you have a really cool YouTube channel, and through your website or your social media. And I'm pretty sure people will. So thanks again. And we will definitely stay in touch.
I hope so. Thank you so much, Nicolene.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode. I look forward to hearing your thoughts, so please let us know and subscribe so you will never miss the next episode.